listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
For over 49 years, Dr. Mehta has been part of the faculty at the Tufts University School of Dental Medicine. In 1976, he co-founded the first school-based TMD center in the country, which grew into the current craniofacial pain center at Tufts. He is currently a senior advisor to the craniofacial pain, headache, and sleep he co-founded. Dr. Mehta has special interest in neurofacial pain and dental sleep medicine. He lectures nationally and internationally on these topics. Dr. Mehta has received numerous awards for various dental organizations, including the prestigious Hayden Stack Award from the American Academy of Craniofacial Pain. And most recently, in 2015, Clinician of the Year from the Massachusetts Dental Society. He published extensively in peer-reviewed journals, is editor of the sleep section for the Journal of Craniomandibular and Sleep Practice, and sits on the editorial board of several international publications. He is the senior author of the textbook Head, Face, and Neck Pain, Science Evaluation and Management, published by Wiley in 2009. Dr. Mehta received his BDS degree from the Punjab Government Dental College and Hospital in India in 1967, and his MDS degree from King's George College and Hospital, Lucknow, India in 1969. He earned a postgraduate certificate in periodontology in 1971, and then earned a Master's of Science from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in 1973, followed by his IS-DMD in 1977. Today, I have a very special guest at the Dental Chat Podcast, my mentor and friend, Dr. Noshir Mehta. I had the pleasure of working with him at Tufts University School of Dental Medicine, where he developed and directed the Craniofacial Pain Center. He's here today to share with us about bruxism. Welcome, Dr. Mehta.
Thank you.
So I'll start out with the obvious question for our listeners. What is bruxism?
Well, bruxism is essentially the act of grinding or gnashing of your teeth. And it goes back to biblical times. In the Bible, you hear things about gnashing and grinding of teeth. Well, that's essentially what bruxism is. It's when the upper and lower teeth start to grinding together and they make noise at night or during the day. The act of bruxism, the word bruxism essentially relates to sleep bruxism, which is a nighttime activity. And then clenching, which is a cousin or brother of bruxism, is during the day. So you might have somebody who clenches their teeth, and that is a form of bruxism also. However, by the definition of it, bruxism is a nighttime activity, happens when you're sleeping, and has to do with side-to-side movement of your teeth over each other, therefore producing a sound.
So how would I know if I had bruxism? In other words, what are the signs and symptoms of bruxism?
Well, the first sign and symptom is that if you are sleeping with somebody, they'll wake you up and tell you you're grinding your teeth, because it's, if you've ever heard bruxism, it's the sound that one makes when you eat a mouthful of crackers. Way past in my dental school years, my roommate used to grind the teeth and used to wake me up constantly. So that's how I got involved and was interested in this as to what the sound was. Essentially the way that you can tell is one, by the sound itself that wakes you up. So if you're sleeping with a partner, they'll wake the partner up and they'll tell you that you grind your teeth. Sometimes it's so loud that you wake yourself up. And other times, you know, you don't know that you're grinding your teeth, but the fact is that when people look in your mouth and dentists look in your mouth, and they'll see chipped teeth or broken teeth or worn teeth. And they'll tell you, I think you're grinding your teeth.
So what are the main causes of bruxism?
So the main causes of bruxism essentially has to do with a few things. The adult bruxism very frequently was always related to stress and psychological causes, but it's a little bit more than that now. Stress can cause you to grind your teeth. It's found that A-type personalities tend to grind the teeth more than laid-back personalities. But there's also a fact that now with the advent of a lot of antipsychotic medications and antidepressant medications, some of these medications can affect the bruxism themselves. So bruxism, it can happen from psychological factors, it can happen from dental factors where there is a tooth that's irritating and bothering you, and it's like nature's way of grinding the tooth down to be able to allow it to settle in to its position in the mouth. Or it could be related to neurologic factors. Some nerve systems can be disturbed, which would then cause, in terms of depression, in terms of what we call selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. Those medications have been known to trigger bruxism. So people who are antidepressants, people who are taking these serotonin reuptake inhibitors will most likely at some point be activating their bruxing. In addition to that, alcohol and food allergies. So for food allergies, such as milk and dairy products, sometimes can have been known to aggravate bruxism, especially in children. Alcohol, definitely, the more you drink, the more tendency there is to grind your teeth. We think of alcohol being that it creates a passive aspect of the jaw, but it doesn't. It really aggravates it. And I was involved many years ago in a study that showed that we took dental students and we gave them one dose of alcohol, two doses, three doses, four doses. And we found that the more the doses that we increased, the more the bruxism increased. So that was a very clear evidence that that sleep bruxism it can be related to some sort of psychological, but neurologic also, and medication related factors.
How would I find out if I have bruxism?
Well, you can ask somebody who sleeps with you, or you can look in the mouth yourself. So there are ways that you can look directly and see what you have. For instance, let's start with some signs and symptoms of possible bruxism. And I say possible because these signs and symptoms not always tell you how much you're grinding, but they give you an idea that there's the possibility. Because what happens in bruxism is that it creates an amount of pressure on your teeth. Now, normal pressure of chewing and swallowing and biting is about 25 pounds on the molars, which are your large back teeth. And 25 pounds of force is not a whole lot of force. Whereas if you grind your teeth, that force can increase and has been shown to be increased by almost 10 times. So almost when you think about it, if you take somebody who's a big football player and put them on your teeth, that's the thing. So about 300 pounds of force can be generated between the teeth during the course of bruxism. So if that happens, for any length of time, something is going to break down. And the question is, what breaks down? So we have an issue where we call it a weak link theory. And the weak link theory suggests that when you grind your teeth with that amount of force for a long period of time, either the teeth are going to get worn down, which we see quite frequently, or the jaws and the muscles get affected and the jaw joints get affected and start making noises and pain, having pain, or there is pain in the face or ear pain, increased sensitivity of the teeth themselves, wearing of the teeth, chipping and fractures of the teeth. And then there is also that if there's periodontal disease, which is inflammation of the gums, you could also have movement of the teeth and loosening up of the teeth. So all of those things are factors to take into account. So if you have anything like those, you should talk to your doctor about the possibility of nighttime bruxism.
Can you talk about how bruxism should be managed and what kind of things can people do on their own to help?
So there are a couple of things that you can do. First of all, you need to find out if you have bruxism. And if that is the case, then the issue is, what can I do for it? So for doing it yourself, partly related to sleep factors. So people who sleep soundly tend not to brux. People who do not sleep well tend to brux. People who take these medications, which affects the nature of their sleep, tend to brux more. And so what you want to do is to try to get as good a sleep at night as possible. And what that means is that you do not eat or drink at least an hour before bedtime. You don't have alcohol at night. You don't, if you're going to take vitamins and minerals, don't take them at night. Take them during the day early. And if you're planning on going to sleep at any given time, always get into bed about 45 minutes or so before that. And do not watch television, or don't be on your iPhone or anything that has light related to it. Because light emanating from these devices affecting and coming into your face can affect the sleep patterns.
What types of treatments might my dentist offer for the treatment of bruxism?
So the primary treatment, we don't know a whole lot about bruxism as to how to stop it. We do know what can cause it. We do know where it happens. It happens in the mouth between the teeth. So what we tend to do for the most part is to do preventative treatments. And the most effective preventative treatment is a night guard. So if a dentist sees that you're grinding your teeth, or he thinks you are grinding your teeth, he'll suggest a night guard. And a night guard is an extremely good and valuable device, because you can wear it at night between your teeth. If you're going to grind your teeth, you're going to grind on the night guard, and the night guard material is softer than the tooth material. Therefore, if anything is going to happen, it's going to happen to the night guard, but your teeth are going to be preserved. So my personal feeling is that the best thing that somebody can do, whether or not you are grinding, or you think you're grinding, or you may think you will grind, or you're going to go on medications, that to talk to your dentist about possibility of having a night guard. Most night guards are relatively inexpensive, and the average dentist can make you a night guard in about a day or so. So there are also night guards that you can buy on the shelf, like CVS or other pharmacy type things. But we suggest that you get the dentist to make you a proper fitting guard, because if it's not properly fitting, it also could aggravate your bruxism. That's one, number one. Number two, in addition to that, if you are grinding your teeth, and if there are stress-related factors, you need to do some stress management. And these are things like yoga, anything that can calm you down, have you go to sleep easier, medications to relax you. All of those things are good treatments, and therefore a psychologist is a good person to have if you are grinding your teeth. You also need to then look at your sleep patterns, and the sleep patterns will be seen or can be evaluated by a sleep physician or any physician who actually has strained extra in sleep apnea, or in sleep disorders. So basically the idea here is that, you know, with this combination of people, the tendency is that yes, the whatever the factors were for your bruxism will be somehow at least be treated or completely, or at least be under control.
Are there any take-home messages that you want to leave our listeners with?
Yes, bruxism, you know, people say, oh, well, she grinds, my wife grinds, and or my husband grinds. People tend to notice the grinding, but they don't think it's a factor of health. But tooth grinding is a major indicator of stress in the body. It's a major indicator of sleep disturbances. And it's a major indicator of just general health. And so I would suggest that that if people have know of people grinding, think of people grinding and or grind themselves, that they should talk to the dentist and their physician about it.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us today, Dr. Mehta. It was so great to have you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.